and welcome back to another episode of Your Favorite Album, the podcast where we sit down with someone and ask them, hey, what's your favorite album? I'm your host, Adam Santiago, and today is July 4th, and it's kind of rainy outside, so what better way to celebrate Independence Day by having our guest be an All-American, reject that is, Mike Kennedy.
Hello.
Hi, I'm sorry for that lame joke, Mike.
No, it's kind of funny, though. We're going to be talking about a Canadian band. So totally just negates everything.
Exactly. You've undone all my great work. Thanks for coming on, dude.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Indeed. So let's jump into the fun stuff. What's your favorite album, Mike?
You know, obviously, this is a tough one, but... there's a few that I could go back and forth on, but I ultimately picked Wrong by No Means No, because that's a record that over the past, I don't know, over 20 years that I've owned it, I come back to it, and it always surprises me and always brings something new. So I was like, all right, that's the one I got to talk about.
Now, can you tell us about No Means No? Because I had never heard of them until you brought it up, and I mentioned to one of my coworkers, he's like, oh yeah, I know No Means No. And I was totally shocked because he usually never knows these bands that I'm talking about.
That's funny. No Means No, they're a Canadian band that's been around since early 80s. And they started as a duo, just bass and drums, a pair of brothers named Rob and John Wright. And then they eventually grew into a three-piece, adding a guitar player, and put out many records since then. A lot of them on Alternative Tentacles, and that was my exposure to them, was, you know, being a young punk rock kid listening to Dead Kennedys records and having all these Alternative Tentacles catalogs. I would see this plethora of No Means No records, but I didn't actually hear them until, because, like, at the time I knew enough, though, that, you know, just because it's on Alternative Tentacles didn't mean necessarily I was gonna like it, because they have there's a lot of questionable stuff.
Quantity over quality.
Exactly. And so it wasn't until they, I think it was 1993, they did a tour with DOA, and that came through my town, and I was like, oh shit, I really stoked to go see DOA. And so I went, just only knowing of No Means No, never having heard them. And they blew DOA out of the water. One thing. But that was a really bad period of DOA. That was like at the height of their like hard rock era. but still, it was amazing. And that it was just like, you know, at the time I was a kid who was just very into the classic punk stuff and new stuff, but like, you know, like Lookout Records kind of stuff at the time. And so in relatively simplistic next to No Means No. And then they came on stage and they're one, they're just set up crazy. Like they had the drums on the right of the stage kind of angled out. And then like they're all set up in a line essentially. And then they just came out and just played this crazy, complicated, very bass centric music.
I was going to say that. Yeah. The bass is really prominent on that stuff.
Totally. And he's just an amazing bass player and does so much crazy stuff. And yeah, it just really took me aback and blew me away that night. And, yeah, I could, at the end of the night, I was like, you know, I was a young kid, so I just had enough money so I could buy a t-shirt or a record. And I ended up buying, there's this one No Means No t-shirt that's kind of like the one they've always had for a long time, where it's the bass player dressed up like a priest and it says, kill everyone now. And I was like, that's awesome, but I probably get a lot of shit for wearing that to school. And so I was like, I'll take that cassette. And I bought the Wrong cassette. So that was my first owning of it, was the actual cassette of it.
Nice. Wait, how old were you in 93? I always forget like what our age difference is.
I would have been 13.
Okay, you've only got me by like 2-3 years. That's all. So Wrong was their first album you actually owned then, right?
Yep. Wow. Yeah, first one I heard, and when I took it home, it blew me away more than the live show. Like it just, cause yeah, like that was like really when I was like just starting to learn how to play music, and just it, you know, like I couldn't even fathom what they were doing. Like I was still like in very basic power chord mindset, and they're like doing just these crazy rhythms and everything, and it blew my mind. And I really it's one of those things that made me want to get better as a player to try to write songs like that. But it was still many years before I could even.
well, the thing is, like, the album doesn't like ease you into anything. It just like kicks off, and it's insane.
Totally, yeah. That's what I love about it. Just with those very like stark, like staccato hits, and then yeah, just launches right into it.
Yeah, I was really, because you sent me the stuff, and I put it on my iPod, and I was like in an elevator full of like older ladies like going to their offices, and it started, and I was like, oh, I should probably lower this. I was expecting like a couple seconds of, you know, like slow build up or something.
Yeah, what did you think? They're one of those bands that's kind of like, I don't know, like I think they're polarizing for people. Like some people just either can appreciate the musicianship but don't really like it, or just love it. So I'm curious.
I really enjoyed it. I was surprised, you know. I haven't really had someone suggest an album and me listen to it and be like, nah, I can't get down with this. So I've been lucky so far.
Sweet.
But yeah, no, this album's great. And the fact that the bass was so heavy, that was just really, like, catching me. Because, like I told you, I've been trying to get back into, like, playing, and it's just like, whoa.
Totally.
It's like, what are they doing?
It's crazy. So good.
So now, from this album, did you end up, like, digging further into their stuff, or was it just, like, just centered on this album mainly?
I did, and they've had so much stuff through the years, and It kind of has, for me, has varying degrees of success. Like, this is definitely the pinnacle and the one that's like start to finish the album that's like, fuck. And the others have great songs, but there's peaks and valleys. And but it did lead me to buying a lot of their stuff. And they have like a side band called the Hanson Brothers. That's sort of it's like their version of a Ramones tribute, kind of. And which, you know, it's them trying to write Ramonesy songs, but it still sounds like them. And so it's really good too. Their first album especially is a really good record. So I've definitely spent a lot of money over the years buying their records.
And does if someone was really familiar with their stuff, would they ever find like any nods in your music at all? Like your playing, do you think? Or is that kind of a separate thing?
Unfortunately, I think it is kind of a separate thing. There'd still be some time I'd love to do stuff like that. It's just so crazy and just rhythmically. Like I listened to it. I hadn't listened to it in probably a few months until yesterday, like getting ready for this. And just like even still, like there's times where I'm just like, fuck, like they're just doing such crazy stuff and these things where they do so many like stop and starts, but they don't interrupt the groove, they kind of add to the groove, and that just kind of is a crazy idea to me, that like a rest adds to the groove. And but they pull it off.
No, yeah, totally. And I keep coming back to the bass, though. It made me also think of another bassist that we both mutually enjoy, Carl Alvarez.
Totally, like, yeah, they were the two bass players for me that made me realize that, you know, bass is way more than just following the chords of the guitar.
Yeah, because they just write some insane shit.
Totally. And yeah, and that they both, and yeah, like it's pretty much No Means No and All were the two bands that made me really think about punk in a different way, in that you can be a really fucking crazy good musician and still play punk rock songs and just like, I don't know, that's that thing that really made me strive to want to like play weirder and different and stuff. And yeah, maybe that doesn't come across so much in my band, but it's definitely like what inspired me in like formative playing times.
No, definitely, man. Yeah, that's probably the intimidating thing about the Descendants cover band will launch one day.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I'm still not that good at doing what he does.
I don't know if a lot of people are.
Yeah. But that's a very big compliment to him.
Oh, he's definitely.
So good.
So was that first time you saw him the only time you've seen him live, or have you seen them since, like when your appreciation of them grew even more?
That unfortunately is the only time I've gotten to see him. It's crazy. And they've played, I remember there was some time they played Oklahoma, but for some reason since then that I didn't get to go, and it's unfortunate. But what sucks is, and kind of now as I learned more about them, was when I saw them, it was probably one of their first tours where they had this guy, Andy Kerr, who's the guitar player and kind of co-singer on this record, who was in the band for a long time. And when I first saw him, it was right after he left the band. So I'm kind of bummed that I never got to see him with him, since he was such like an integral part of this record.
That's the worst, when you catch right after the lineup shift.
Yeah. Which obviously they still blew me away, and it didn't deter anything. But now in retrospect, I'm like, it would have been cool if I got to see him with him.
in a couple of years, I'm going to reach out to you again, and you're going to tell me you're like mixing or producing their latest album, and I'm just going to laugh. Because I feel like that's how your life works.
I've been lucky to get to do that, but I would be intimidated probably.
So you're listening to this album a lot through high school and stuff. Are you like trying to expose it to as many people as you can, or did you kind of keep it like your thing?
I did, you know, like I definitely tried to show it to all of my friends, but it was one of those records that like I felt like a lot of people went, "Oh, that's crazy," but then rarely like really listened to and appreciated. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, like I would always talk to people about it, but it didn't seem like it rubbed off as much as other things I would show people.
You can usually see like in someone's eyes or the way they nod their head when you play a music, like, oh, you're faking that you're enjoying it for my benefit. I understand that.
Totally.
Oh man. I love it. I love it.
But yeah, like I'm looking at the CD right now, and it's just like, even the artwork's fucking great. It's like, they really, like, everything came together. It's one of those rare records where everything comes together, and it's just fucking perfect, in my eyes.
That's a good summary on that.
Totally.
So now, yeah, like, I'm trying to think of, like, what tracks really stuck out for me, but, you know, since I was kind of giving it quick listens, it was, I didn't really catch all the names. So, of course, like, It's Catching Up was definitely, since it was the intro, and it just kind of, like, took over. But Big Dick kept me laughing on the train.
Totally. Which is a bizarre one too, because it's just drums and bass.
But it just sounds so good.
Yeah, and they make it work. And that's kind of another thing. Like one of the things that makes me appreciate this record still, and more as I get older, is like, especially now that I do record bands. Like I listen to this record now, and it's like, most of the record is like a true three piece. It's like the bass is slightly left, the guitar is slightly right, and like there's not layering and stuff. And it's crazy that they're able to pull that off, and it still sounds really full, and you don't think about, oh, this feels weird having these things panned off and not having, you know, a guitar balance on both sides. And it's pretty amazing that they pulled that off, and just the way it even sounds too. It's just like a record that's, it doesn't sound super dated or like of its time. It like has a really unique sound that just kind of like stands on its own, which is pretty amazing thing to do. That I don't know how many bands can actually do that, to where you can put a record in and not immediately date it.
Yeah, that's true. So now how, like, were these guys kind of big on the scene, do you think, or like?
Well, at that DOA No Means No show I went to, there was probably 40 people, 50 people. So I've read that they had like around this time were pretty big in Europe, and I think that's where they had their biggest following. But yeah, I don't think they were ever like super big in the States, but I'm sure, I mean, they've toured for years and years, so they must have done good enough.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, you know, there are those bands that just are known in so many circles but just never like pierce that thing, but it's not like it hurts them, you know.
Yeah, totally.
The music's getting out there, and everyone knows who you are.
Totally.
Oh, man. I feel like it's weird. This is the earliest I've ever recorded an episode, I think. It's throwing me off.
Still waking up. If it makes you feel better, I'm literally only in my underwear right now.
Dude, me too. We're doing it, man. talking about Canadian punk records in our underwear.
It's the only way to go on the 4th of July.
Exactly. Freedom.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, so this I was reading up on it too, and it's definitely like everyone's kind of in consensus that this is the best album they've ever like released.
Yeah, I wonder if they resent that at all.
Especially when you're still going.
Yeah, and they put out so many records, but
yeah, I've always wondered how bands feel about that. Like, in one way, it's kind of maybe pressure to one-up it, but then I feel like it also kind of limits your creativity, because you're in the back of your head, you're like, you know, this is what worked on this, why I need to make sure it works again without trying something new, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's kind of like, you know, the Weezer Blue thing, you know, stuff like that.
Totally. Yeah, I don't know. But they seem like they've continued to be happy doing their thing. Their later records mellowed out a lot, but there's still some really cool stuff.
Yeah, I definitely enjoy the energy. That's for sure.
Like, yeah,
this will probably be like some good, you know, bike riding music and whatnot.
They did right after this too. They did a record with Jello Biafra where they were like his band, and has a lot of very strong wrong influences on it. Like it sounds like the record that they recorded right after this one, and it has some really good stuff too.
Interesting.
So, if you are a Dead Kennedys fan and you enjoy this, it's worth checking out.
Nice. So you're saying you hadn't listened to this in a few months, but other than that, is it something you listen to regularly? Like you come back to a lot?
I feel like I go through spurts where it's usually probably like once a year, I think, where I won't listen to it for a while, and then it's like, okay, it's time for this. And then I put it on, and it's just amazing how much stuff I forget every time. And then I'm like, fuck, this is so good. I need to listen to this all the time.
Do you ever play along to it?
I've never done that. It's funny because I feel like the records that I love the most and respect the most, like this and like all records, are the ones that I never try to learn how to play. And I think it's because like there's something I love about listening to it and not truly knowing what they're doing that kind of makes it seem all that more mystical in a way to me. Like if I tried to sit there and figure it out, which I probably could, it might take away a little. Like I don't want to know what they're doing. I don't want to know what's behind the curtain. Like I just want to be amazed when I listen to it.
Huh? Wow. I never thought of it that way. Because I guess that would change the way you listen to it too. Because in your head, you're just piecing it together as how to play it. Yeah. Huh.
And there's like sometimes where it's like something sounds really crazy, and then you might figure out, wait, it's actually really easy. It's like, I don't want that. I want to always think, this is just fucking crazy.
Yeah, it's like, why was I impressed by you? Parlor tricks.
Exactly. It's like, I don't know how magic tricks are done.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard anyone describe that way. Huh. Interesting. Yeah, I gotta say, I was super surprised you didn't go with an album by All.
I mean, they're definitely were up there. Like that's definitely a part of the choice. Probably Revenge if I had to pick one.
Ooh, that is a good one. That's with what the hell's on that one? My brain just froze. What's on Revenge?
She's My Ex and Mary, Box.
Oh, okay, is that Scott or Dave?
It's Scott.
Oh, I love Scott.
Yeah, that's a great record.
Yeah, I still have to, you know, thanks for that one day when you hooked me up with all the B-sides and stuff I didn't have. Oh, so good.
Yeah.
I still listen to all that stuff.
Nice.
So, No Means No is still touring out there, so, and you've only seen them that one time, and you're saying you've missed out. Do you feel like it's kind of cool to leave it at that, or would you still want to like see them again, or is it just kind of like that magic moment you feel like should be left alone?
I wouldn't mind seeing them again. I think I could still retain that feeling of that first time, but it would be nice just to see them and see how they are now, which I'm sure they're still great. It's funny. Like when I was talking about wishing I'd seen him with the old guitar player, I was like, I think sometime last year, it was one of those, I seem to have this every so often, one of those realizations that like, oh shit, there's probably videos on YouTube now of the shit I've always said I wanted to see. And I did. I found some videos of them playing in like Europe in like 89. And holy shit, they sound so good. There's one video in particular them playing the song Brainless Wonder, which is the third one on here, which is like mostly an instrumental, but it's real crazy and fast. And they sound so good live. And that's kind of a thing, I guess, a testament to how they were able to pull this off. It's like just a three-piece. Like, I mean, it sounds exactly the same live as it did on the record. And that's pretty awesome. That seems like a rarity these days, at least.
Oh, yeah. So sad.
Yeah.
Like, I want that statement to not be true.
Yeah, totally.
It's like you have two guitars, but wait, how many guitar tracks are on that song?
Totally. Or, yeah, and like every band, like, these small bands have like tracks now, which blows my mind. It's like, no, let's not do this. Put the iPod away.
You know, everyone's, you know, it's a weird digital age that we live in. Things are crazy and whatnot.
Totally.
I saw this band recently called Memory Map, and like it's two guitars and then one like weird guitar bass hybrid. And I was like, whoa, I thought, you know, I wasn't going to see any weird, interesting stuff anymore these days. But, dude, it sounded so good.
That's cool. I didn't check that out.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts. One of the guitarists is, he's kind of internet famous by way of his cat. He owns that cat Little Bub that's, like, all over the internet.
I'm not familiar.
Yeah, it's just this little tiny cat that had, like, osteoporosis or something. And but she's like the cutest thing in the world, and he's like a touring musician.
Fucking A.
Yeah, but the guitar bass thing is so crazy. It's kind of like, what was that band that used? I'm trying to remember. There are two bands that use these other weird like guitar bass hybrids, and I can't. I'll come up with it like an hour later and then text you and be like,
this was it Morphine? Didn't they have something like that? That 90s band?
I can't remember. Funny because I listen to Morphine a lot at this one place because one of the bartenders is big into them. So it's always on the jukebox sometime. Yeah. So where do you go from this album, man? What?
Like musically?
Yeah.
Where did I go? Like with my own journey?
Yeah, like your progression from here.
Honestly, it's funny because it didn't, like, as much as this inspired me to, like, want to play better and stuff, and it didn't lead me to, like, wanting to seek out more bands like this necessarily. I kind of kept on the, like, you know, lookout pop punk trail, and for the most part, still loved, you know, more, like, simplistic punk, and just kind of, which led me, I don't know, you know, just through the 90s. As I think a lot of people did with that whole scene. But I don't know. It was kind of always there to like every so often kick me in the ass and be like, you need to practice harder.
Like, you see what these guys are doing? Get there.
Totally. And then actually one of the other potential records I thought about with this was Propagandhi's Less Talk, More Rock. Ooh. And that's another one too. That's like, I would listen to back then and be like not completely understanding what he was doing playing wise. Like there's all this stuff to be like, fuck. Like that song Nation States is so crazy with its like chord progression, especially in the intro part, that just be like, what is going on? And that it's funny. Like those are the records that like I love the most. And, but it's funny now though, when I do, that's one record when I do listen back now, I can go, oh, I know what he's doing. But it's still great. It's still in my top, you know, five. So,
and so you're doing producing now, right?
Yeah.
Do you ever like have those moments where you're doing that and you're just like, this is like it kind of like hits that sound that you're like, this is kind of like the broken, like this is what I'm like I loved like growing up. You know, do you ever have those moments where it's just like you hear someone playing something for you and you're like, definitely, this is what I want to work with.
Yeah. I remember there was when I recorded Ben Weasel's solo record a few years ago. It was the first time I'd worked with him, and we'd done all the music, and then we were recording vocals, and he hadn't recorded a record in like 5 years at that point. So we recorded some, and it was sounding okay, But it wasn't, I don't know, there was a point where he just starts singing one song and he got more kind of nasally and gruff with it. And I'm like, and it was like this moment of like, holy shit, there's that voice that I grew up listening to. And I was like, fuck. It's like, that sounded really good. You're going to hate me. We have to go back and re-sing everything we've done so far. And he's like, because I guess he'd been kind of taking some like voice lessons just to kind of like keep his, like, so he'd have more stamina and stuff. But it kind of like made him sing weird for a minute. And I was like, no, fuck that shit. Sing how you sing. And so, but there was that moment where after we'd been recording for a couple hours where I was like, oh shit, there's that voice coming through the speakers. And it was awesome. That was a pretty amazing moment.
That's great, man. See, now one day in the future you'll have that moment with No Means No.
That'd be awesome. You'll get that bass sound coming through.
Exactly. Amazing. So what would be your favorite track on this album?
That's a good question. Let me see. There's so much.
There's song, a lot of gems, yeah.
Yeah. And that song, Brainless Wonder, even though it's mostly an instrumental, it just has so much cool shit going on. Oh, man, it's really a tough one. I know. Yeah, I don't know that I can pick. Like, I really love when they get melodic, too, like on End of All Things and I Am Wrong. It's got some cool shit. It's funny. I saw a couple of years ago, Alkaline Trio were covering Two Lips, Two Lungs, and One Tongue. And I was like, that's amazing. Like, I would never have expected to see a band covering No Means No. And it's like a Warped Tour. Like, we were doing Warped Tour at the same time as them. And I was like, very like stoked. I was like, I am so stoked you guys covered that. That's fucking awesome.
Wow. I remember that Warped Tour. Crap, I wouldn't have picked up on it since I didn't know who this band was.
And it, you know, that's probably the most straightforward song on the record, but so it like translates better, I guess, in their set. But it's just still, I was like, ah, that's fucking awesome they covered that.
Nice. Okay, so maybe tough to pick a favorite album, but a favorite song, but I always put a track on the end of these things that kind of like, you know, it's either a favorite song or something that you feel best sells the band to a new listener, or something that'll catch someone's ear. Mm-hmm. What track do you think would be best for that?
I would either say
I didn't make it any easier for you.
Yeah, maybe either it's Catching Up or Brainless Wonder. Like, Brainless Wonder is a weird one because it's mostly instrumental, but I think musically it really does show what all they got. So I don't know. What did you listen again at some point?
No, man. It's got to be your call. It's always guest call, man.
Okay. Let's go Brainless Wonder.
Okay, cool. I have made a note that's sweet. The one. No, you can't weasel out of that one, man.
I'm committed.
Yeah, there you go. So do you have any closing words on this album?
I would just, you know, recommend people check it out. It's a really good record, and what's funny too is because like I'm usually in the just more straight punk, like it's a really long record for me. Like, I usually can't sit through a 50-minute record.
That caught me off guard too. I thought it was gonna be like 29, you know, 32 minutes.
Totally. And most times I don't enjoy records this long, but this one I can sit and listen to and never get bored, never lose attention. And so I guess that's another like thing that's, you know, compliment to it, that it can do that. Yeah. For someone as ADD, I guess, as me.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't seem like it's going on that long. It's kind of seamless. Like, it's just a good, like, I'm trying to think of a good word for that. But it's just, you just kind of go with it and you don't realize you've been listening that long.
Totally. I probably said totally way too many times. I'm noticing that.
It's cool. I say like about a million times an episode. I've come to accept it. I can't do anything about it.
Sweet. I don't feel as bad.
Exactly. You're good, man. So you got anything going on you'd like to share with the people? The millions and millions of listeners?
Right now, I just finished a record for a band called The Copyrights. that are from Illinois, and I'm really excited about that. That they have a 7-inch coming out on Fat this month that I recorded, and then a full length in the fall on Red Scare. And then after that, in the process of recording a new Screeching Weasel record, which hasn't been announced, but I'm just going to say we're doing a new Screeching Weasel record. Sorry, Ben, I hope that doesn't bum you out.
So, you've been Egerton from Descendants All, right? Is that how you pronounce his last name?
I think it's Egerton.
Okay, I butchered that.
But you'd never know. And you wouldn't know it's Stefan and not Steven.
Yeah, I didn't know that till you told me one time, and I was just like, holy shit, blew my mind. When are you going to work with him, man?
Well, he's mixed a couple things I've done. He mixed the last Screeching Weasel EP. He mastered an EP I did for a band called The City Lives. So it's nice. Like, he lives in Tulsa, which is only like an hour and a half from me. So... It's easy to work with him in that respect, but I mean, I would love to work with him in more ways than just mixing and stuff. But
I'm so envious of you.
Yeah, he's an awesome dude, and so I would, you know, I always feel like I'm such a fucking geek worshiper of him. And when I do talk to him, I'm like trying to play it cool. Hey. But he's such a great dude. He's awesome.
Oh, I love those guys so much. And Rejects are playing a few shows here and there?
Yeah, nothing too big. We're just kind of playing some one-offs, and I'm sure we'll start working on a record before too long, but no plans at the moment. Just taking it easy.
Awesome, awesome. And you need to hit New York soon, man. It's been a while since we've hung
out. I know! Yeah, like I was saying before we started this, it's been almost 2 years.
Yeah, that's crazy. That was that show at, I think, the Best Buy Theater or something.
Yeah. Out
for a bit. Man, time flies.
It really does. It's crazy when we're getting old.
We need to get how quickly it goes. Yeah, we need to get you, me, Neil, and Jesse hanging out.
Totally.
Oh, love it. Love it. But dude.
And Jonah. Jonah
yes.
Too.
Oh, Jonah Bear. Who could forget Jonah Bear? He's kind of a big deal. But dude, Mike, thanks so much for, first off, thanks for emailing me like randomly in the night saying you wanted to be on the show.
I've been like, you know, I always see your like Instagram posts about it. And I'm like, oh, I want to do that sometime. And I thought about it with this record. I was like, that's such a good record. I want to talk about
it. Caught me so off guard. I was like, why is Mikey emailing me? I was like, sweet.
Well, thanks for having me, man. I had fun getting to nerd out.
Yeah, definitely. And I got a new band to listen to, and I really enjoyed this album, so I'll be looking more into their stuff.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm glad you like it. That's awesome.
Yeah, definitely, man. Definitely. Well, I'd like to thank everybody for dropping in on your favorite album again. I want to thank Mike Kennedy for being on the show and chatting about some tunes with me. As always, we're on the Facebook, the iTunes, Tumblr, Twitter, all that crazy stuff. But for now, we're going to leave you with Brainless Wonder off the album Wrong by No Means No. Until next week, have a good one, everybody. Bye.